Thank you for coming back again to the second lesson on seeing the sun. We're just going to read one verse in John 6:40, from which we get our title. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I want you to notice carefully the two phrases, seeth the Son and believeth on him. So seeing is not always believing, but seeing and believing brings you into eternal life. The Amplified Bible, which I recommend that you Christians get you one. I use the King James Bible all the time. That's all I ever use. But I do have an Amplified Bible. What does that mean? It takes the Greek and the Hebrews and amplifies it. Let me give you an example. John 6:40 in the Amplified Bible reads, he that sees the Son and believes in and cleaves to and trusts in and relies on him hath life. So that one word, believes on him, has all these different Greek words that come from it and are the same thing. So to see the Son and believe on him is to cleave to, trust in, and rely on. That's what it means. Now, let's go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. You say, well, that's where the Ten Commandments are. You're right about that. Exodus chapter 20. I want to read verses 4 and 5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. To bow down to any image is to prove that you hate God. And we see these Christian Bible shops, Christian bookstores, whatever that is, and they sell these little crystal figures of angels. And they say, oh, what a wonderful thing. Let's get one of them and hang it on the rearview mirror of our car. That way we'll know God is with us. God said, you must hate me. No graven image of anything. That's what he said. So we have to be careful about this. Dear soul, do not buy your child, your grandchild, a Bible with pictures in it. Do not start them off on the road to idolatry. Exodus 33. You say, well, just like my Uncle Brown, well, we got all these statues and these images that helps us to worship God. But what God are you worshiping? Because the only true image of God is revealed by the Holy Spirit into your heart. The pure in heart see God, not those who own pictures and statues of angels and all of that kind of stuff. That's what God said, the pure in heart. You need to be working on your heart, not upon your imagination. The Bible said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Be careful, dear soul. David said in Psalm 19, there is the world book and there is the word book. So the world, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. Firmament shows his handiwork. Good. We went, you say, I haven't, but you say, we went out to see the Grand Canyon. Oh, you went out to see the worst erosion you've ever seen, yeah, but we were inspired by God. Well, I'm glad. I don't want to take that away from you, but dear soul, you need to be careful of that. It's the Holy Spirit that is to reveal Christ to you. He may use that natural order. But dear soul, Romans chapter 1, in verse 20, stay there in the book of Exodus. We're coming right back. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, listen, so that they are without excuse. The natural order, the wonders of things, the seven wonders of the world. Boy, we were inspired. But this old, all it did was to render you inexcusable. The Grand Canyon and all that kind of stuff, it can't bring you to Christ. It renders you inexcusable. How can all that kind of thing be without you believing there is a God? So now you're inexcusable. You have had it proved to you. But you shall not make any graven image of anything. Back to Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Exodus 33:18. And Moses said to God, show me thy glory. Let me read you verse 13 to start with. Exodus 33:13. Now therefore I pray thee, Moses talking to God, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. It's one thing to see the ways of God, but it's another thing to see the acts of God. We can see those things that God did, but we need to see those things that God is. Then in verse number 18, Exodus 33, and again Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face. Verse 19 tells you of God's glory. It's the glory of his sovereignty. It's the glory of his goodness. We have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God's been good to us. We have prayed and God has sent rain and sent nourishment to our crops and fed us well. And we enjoyed the blessings of God and we didn't fail to bow our heads and to thank the Lord for it and to look out for the poor people that didn't have as much as we did. And we didn't build bigger barns to hold everything up. We shared it out and to show people the goodness of the Lord. They may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16. So he says, I will make my goodness pass before thee. And you've seen the goodness of the Lord. He says, but thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Dear friend, apart from the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand and perceive the greatness of God Almighty and his glory. Moses was not capable of seeing God's glory because the redemption had not yet been accomplished, and the blood of bulls and goats cannot sustain the platform of the revelation of God's glory. I'm going to show you something in just a minute. Listen. We can't be saved by the blood of bulls and goats. They had to do that. That's the only way they could obey God in that day. But you cannot see God's glory based on the blood of bulls and goats. It will not stand. It will not sustain and uphold the platform of the revelation of God's glory. No man shall see my glory and shall live. He said, there's a place in a rock. And the Bible says that rock is Christ. Just plain out says it. Don't need Dr. Bottle Stopper. You don't need any commentaries. That rock is Christ. That's just flat-footed what it says. There's a place in the rock where I can reveal myself. In John 14, verse 9, he said, hast thou been so long with me, Philip, and thou hast not known me? For he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. That's what he said. So he's the rock that has been has it revealed to us. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's make it chapter 4. if our gospel be hid, chapter 4 and verse 3, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. If you believe not, the devil will come blind your mind. You won't be able to see it ever again. You need to be careful. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. You want to see God, you see Christ Jesus, who is God's image. And you need to read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, in the original created order, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, let there be light in Genesis chapter 1, hath shined in our hearts. It's also a creation. It is also a work of the sovereign holy God, purposely in dear soul, in his own determination and by his own power, revealing God to your soul. It's the same way. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What did he say to Moses in Exodus 33? No man shall see my face and live. You can't behold my glory, not based upon the blood of bulls and goats according to the law. For law had a shadow of things to come, Hebrews 10:1, but not the very image of those things. The shadow of a slain lamb can't save you. Dear soul, until there was a redemption that was accomplished and completed, you can't be brought before God to see the glory. For he that hath been born again can see the kingdom, John 3:3, can enter the kingdom, John 3:5, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit, John 3:8. So we understand and see that God says, no images of any kind. Do you have a Bible that has pictures in it? Throw it in the garbage can and go buy you one that don't. Or tear those pages out and throw them in the fire. Do not give your children or grandchildren a Bible with pictures in it. You are leading them into the way of the harlot church and the harlot spirit, and you're teaching them that we are to come to know God by pictures and statues. And God said, absolutely not. For if you do that, you're those that hate me. That's what he said. I'm trying to be your friend and help you understand and get out of this harlotry that we're in. Read your Bible. Plain, everyday scriptures. Get you a King James Bible. Well, I can't understand it. Well, ask God to give you an understanding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It didn't say let him go to the bookstore and buy a commentary. It said let him ask of God. You've got the same Holy Spirit that Peter had. You've got the same Holy Spirit that John had. You've got the same Holy Spirit that the Apostle Paul had. You lack wisdom, ask of God. You need to commune with God about this. You need to see the Lord and believe on him. That's what he said. Listen, you must see the glory. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You say, all my life I've only ate because I was hungry. All my life, the only reason I've snacked is because I had this hunger that I can't control. But God said, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, even eating and drinking. Is that important? Well, it is because God said to, but also let me show you something. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of that day and hour, that is the coming of the Lord, knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But I'll tell you what they'll be like. You don't know when it shall happen, but this is how the world will be involving itself when it does happen. Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For what were they doing? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Is that bad? Well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10:31 and remember what we just read. For whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, they were bowing their heads and say, thank you, Lord, for what we're about to receive. Just lip service, had nothing to do with God. They were not thinking about God. They were not eating for the glory of God. God's glory was not at all in their mind. And God said, it's coming to that again before the Lord comes back. Do you really know any Christians? Well, yeah, well, I'll go to church and there's a whole lot of Christians. I have a hard time finding a parking place. I didn't ask you, did you know many church attenders? I asked you, did you know any Christians who, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do it for the glory of God. They do it with the awareness and the consciousness of God in their souls and in their hearts. They keep their hearts pure from the things of the world, and they the ones that see God, Matthew 5:8. You don't really know that many Christians. You may know a lot of church attenders. You may know those that give lip service. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, he said. And so we understand and see, dear soul, that God said it's coming back to that. Well, we really enjoy the barbecue at church. We sell a lot of barbecue to the people in the community, make a lot of money, and we happen to pay off our building note. What are you doing with a building note? We're so far away from God, I don't know what in the world we're going to do. Yeah, I do know what we're going to do. If we don't get back to God, I know where we're going to wind up. Dear soul, listen. As the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, when did they know? And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We need to get back to seeing the Son. We need to get back to a true, heartfelt, individual God consciousness. And not just go through lip service. Well, you know, it's kind of inconvenient to go to church. We were going to leave on our vacation, but we don't dare leave on our vacation until we go to church. We got to go to church. Really, did that really? You might as well just got on the road and went on because you didn't see the Son. Riding down the road, pulling off your tie, and Mama flipping out her feet out of them heels that she wears to church, and your kids over in the back seat taking off their Sunday clothes and getting on their shorts and their T-shirts and so forth, and you can't wait to dismiss God from your heart. Well, then we never really had him in our heart, because you can't dismiss God if he's your only everything. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. I've been thinking about some things, and I want you to understand the value and the importance of seeing the glory. That's been burning in my heart for a long time. And I want you to understand that, first of all, you can't be saved unless you see the glory. Being saved, being born again, causes you to be brought into the awareness of the glory of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. John 3:3. So we come to understand that the glory comes and causes us to see. John chapter 2 and verse number 11. I read that to you quite often. John 2 and verse number 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Seeing the glory is regeneration. I was a baptized, fully accepted church member for 7 long years before I ever saw the glory. I did everything they told me to do, but I didn't know God from third base. And then thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Holy Spirit came and arrested my soul and brought me into the awareness of the glory of God. What are you talking about? The devils believe and tremble. There ain't a demon in hell, dear soul, that don't know that Jesus of Nazareth died on Calvary's hill 2,000 years ago. Are they saved? No. Why? Because that's just a mental ascent. I knew that which the church taught me, but my heart hadn't been changed. Lord, have we not preached and done thy will and done many wonderful works? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What? For I knew you not. Going to hell from a church bench. Going to hell from churchianity. Going to hell from devoting your life to religious churchianity. All your life, devoting your life to that, and then God tells you he don't know you and you got to go to hell. That can't be. Yes, it can. Because God made the road broad and the gate wide to receive those who did not know the glory of God and see the Son. But the way is straight and narrow. Gate is straight and the way is narrow. And few there be that find it that are actually true Christians. You don't really know that many true Christians. Because if they saw the glory, they'll believe on him, and that alone is true Christians. Romans chapter 2. The book of Romans chapter 2. Dear soul, your regeneration and sanctification depends upon your relationship to the glory of Almighty God. Romans chapter 2. And verse number 5 ends with the word God. Verse 6, God will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance. This has to do not only with regeneration, but also sanctification. Not only the birth, which is regeneration, but the growth, which is sanctification, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory. They continually do well and continually seek for glory and honor and immortality. God will render unto them eternal life. That's what the book said. God will render to every man according to his deeds. If he seeks patiently and continuously the glory of God, God will grant him eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, Romans 2, 8, but obey unrighteousness, he will render to them indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Listen, verse 10 of Romans 2, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for God is no respecter of persons. He don't respect any person. You seek God's glory continuously, he grants you eternal life. He grants you honor and immortality. He grants you honor and peace and brings you into eternal glory. But if you do not seek the glory of God and you're just a church member, you know, your cousin is a one that really loves baseball or football, and he's really into that, and he's got every kind of thing to prove that he's really involved in that. Well, you're the same way about your church. Well, what's the difference? It's just what T-shirt you wear. It ain't got anything to do with you being on the way to heaven if you're not seeking the glory. That they continuously and patiently in well-doing seek for glory, God will grant them eternal life. But he will grant tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil. He's no respecter of persons. I don't care how moral a person they were. I don't care how religious a person they were. I don't care if they're one of the nation of Israel, the Jews, or of the Gentiles, which got into all this religious stuff. God will render to them. He will render to them tribulation and anguish. But glory and honor and peace to every man that doeth good, to the Jew first and to the Gentiles. Being a Jew doesn't make him receive the glory of God. Being a born-again believer does. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter. Do you see the glory? What do you mean? I mean, is it just a historical thing that Jesus died on the cross? Or is it a personal clinging to, desiring of, a relying upon the person of Jesus Christ yourself? Is he your bread, and is he your breath? Is he your life? Are you dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ entirely and completely for your acceptance by God? You're seeing the glory if you have. But dear soul, if you don't, you're just a church member. And I was a lost church member for 7 years. Don't tell me that's not possible. I know it is. I was authorized by the church, by baptism, and by vote of the church, and received me into the fellowship of the believers. But I was lost and without God. I was an authorized, legal, bona fide church member. But if I'd have died then, I'd have went to hell. God was merciful to me. Lived 7 precarious years trying to be moral, trying to be a legal moralist. But dear soul, was in a dangerous position until God came to me and saved me. So seeing the glory brings you your sanctification. If you continuously seek the glory patiently, then he will raise you up and lift you up in regeneration. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Being born again. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Romans 4:17. Before him who believeth, even God, who quickeneth, maketh alive the dead in trespasses and sins, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which he had spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 20, Romans 4, he, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to do. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, and it was not written for Abraham's sake alone, Romans 4 and verse number 23, but it was imputed to him, not him alone, verse 24, but for us also, to him it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses and were raised again because of our justification. Dear soul, seeing the glory is essential to regeneration. Seeing the glory is essential to sanctification. It has to be. That means that this thing is not a worldly and just a religious order and a religious practice and performance. Listen to me. Jesus Christ did not come to this world to start religion. Jesus Christ did not come to this world to begin a denomination. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Listen at Revelation. I get it right. Revelation. Don't start to say Romans, but I had to stop in the middle of that word and get my mouth straightened out. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door. What door? The church door. Why is he not in there? Because he didn't come to start religion. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's talking about the spiritual church, with you as living stones making it up. He's not talking about churchianity. He's talking about God building up the body of Christ. Listen, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the local church door, if that's what you want to see, because that's what he's talking about, and knock. Why is he knocking? If any man hear my voice and open the door, you're going to have to hear Jesus calling you. Revelation 18:4. Come out of her, my people. What are you doing in that religious order? Get out of that. Come unto me, he said. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Not I will come into the local church order, but I will come into your heart. The pure in heart shall see God. I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Isn't that glorious? Isn't God good? I was in churchianity for 7 years, lost. But Jesus knocked at the church door and hollered at me, if you'll come out to me, I'll enter into you. And we'll fellowship together. And that's exactly what God had me do. And I thank the Lord for it. But preacher, you're still involved in churchianity. I'm in here to give you understanding of what real, true faith and belief in Jesus Christ is. It is a relying on, a trust in, a believing on him, a clinging to him personally. Your churchianity cannot be held up before God and say, this is how I am going to enter into heaven. God said, that's a work of iniquity. Read your Bible. But dear soul, what you do is you stand before God as a repentant sinner and say, Lord, I have believed thy son. It is by the nail prints in his hand and in his feet, and by the thorn-pierced brow and the spear-pierced side, and the blood of the Lamb of God that took away the sin of my world. And he said, enter into the joys of your Lord. Enter into the joys that were prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There's no other way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's it. Well, he was a good man. Well, good people go to hell. It's raunchy sinners that go to heaven. Preacher, that ain't right. You think about it. You stand before God and say, I'm a good man. God said, go to hell. You're a worker of iniquity. You stand before God and say, I am a wretched sinner. I have no righteousness of my own. Except thy son give me his righteousness, I am impure before you. God said, come on in. Wretched sinners go to heaven and good people go to hell. That is those who think they're good in their own eyes. But those who are sinners, God said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's what God is talking about. He stands at the door of the church and knocks and said, if any man will hear my voice, he said, and open the door. And he is the door. I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. And I heard another voice from heaven, Revelation 18:4, saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. As much as she has glorified herself, verse 7, Revelation 18, 7, as much as the harlot church and religion has glorified itself and lived deliciously. Boy, they'll put down the poor old sinner. What are you doing over there crying and talking about being a sinner? I've been walking with God all these years. Scoffing and mocking. So much torment and sorrow give her that she's give us. For she saith in her heart, this is what they say, this is what the religionist says. I sit as a queen and am no widow and shall not see sorrow, shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Oh, my soul, there's a lot of people in this age going to hell from a church bench. There's a lot of people in our age that's going to hell with a Bible in their hand, but there's not a single person in this age that's got a Bible in their heart that's going to hell. He is seeing the Son. She is seeing the Son and believing on, clinging to, relying in, trusting on the person of Jesus Christ. It is not just a matter of joining a club. It's the matter of seeking the Lord to identify with you and the Lord giving you his righteousness so that you might be able to stand in the presence of Almighty God. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Whom hath God chosen? I read you that in the first lesson. Foolish things, the base things, the things which are not, the things which are despised, hath God chosen. Why? That no flesh should glory in my presence. It's a matter of glory. You've been trying to glory in God's presence? Well, yeah, you ought to have heard me. I got up there in front of the church last Sunday, and I sang this song, and I didn't miss a note. I was letter perfect. I hit every note just right. I saw one old sister back there with a handkerchief wiping her eyes. Boy, I was really doing it. You're going to hell. You're glorying in yourself. It wasn't the person that stood at the synagogue and said, I think that I ain't like him. I fast over time. I fast so many days a week, and I give my tithes. And I'm perfect in every way. But it was the one who smote his breast and said, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And God said, not the preacher, not church entity. Not what does the world think. But God said, that man that smote his breast because he knew where sin was, went down to his house just. That word means he went down to his house justified in God's eyes rather than the other. We got this thing all backwards, friend. What if this is the last preacher you shall ever hear? What if this is the last message that's going out to the last age? There was a strong voice in heaven sent forth and said, come out of her, my people. That's what I'm preaching. What if this is God calling you to himself and making you understand that John 6:40 is an absolute necessity? He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Have you seen the Son, whom having not seen we love, not through the natural eye, not through physical perception, but dear soul, by the spirit of revelation and the glory of Almighty God? Not only does seeing the glory bring you justification, not only does the spirit seeing the glory bring you justification, but it brings you sanctification. Let me read that to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, what's the next two words? Are changed. You say, I want to be more like Jesus. Dear soul, you see the glory, and in patient continuance, seeking after glory, God will change you. Listen, how? But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. What does that mean? From a lesser degree of glory to a higher degree of glory. Are you more aware of God now in your older age than you were when you first got saved? Yes, I think I am. Well, what happened? God raised you from that lesser degree of glory to a higher degree of glory. Don't forbid the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Well, they couldn't hardly walk or talk. Right. When you first got saved, you didn't know it wasn't the book of Job. And you didn't know it wasn't the book of Malachi. It was Malachi, and it was the book of Job. You didn't know anything, but you knew the Lord. But that was a degree of glory. But now here you are, a daddy, a mother, a granddaddy, a grandmother, and now you're now quiet and peaceful and resting in a good and severe, serious hope, resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has revealed one degree of glory to another to you, and that's what's going to bring you into glorification. Not only sanctification, not only regeneration, but, dear soul, also glorification. 1 John 3:2, I know you say, I know you was going to read that. Well, why not? 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we're the sons of God. You are a child of God right now. And it doth not appear what we shall be. How are all those people living? Pass by that graveyard. Look at all them tombstones. And that's just one. Look at all the different graveyards that they are around here. And every one of them people is in God's presence. How are they living? They left their bodies here. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that. There's something we absolutely positively can know by faith right now. That when he shall appear, it was his appearance that gave me justification. They saw the glory of God when he did the miracle and they believed on him. It was him that appeared that gave me the understanding of coming from one degree of glory to another, my progressive sanctification. And dear soul, it will be nothing less. I am the Lord, I change not. He started out with you with the glory of God. He will end with you with the glory of God. You want to go into glorification? Just keep on believing God. Because listen, faith is the bud and glorification is the blossom. It's the same flower. It's the same work. He that hath begun a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord, I change not. Christian, keep on doing what you're doing. Christian, keep on walking in the same walk. Christian, keep on believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, keep on looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Christian, keep on seeing the Son and believing on him, for that alone will bring you justification, sanctification, regeneration, whatever you want to call it, but finally into glorification. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, what does that mean? Born again, risen from the dead. What were you before you were saved? Dead in trespasses and sins. What did you need? A resurrection. What is regeneration? It's a resurrection. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You have your focus entirely different. While we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. That's what Moses did in overcoming Pharaoh, seeing him who is invisible. He overcame the powers of Pharaoh. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Listen, he that loves the things of the world hath not the love of the Father in him. Most of the people that I see in the news, they may be senators or congressmen or presidents or whatever, millionaires, and love the things of the world, and they say, we're Christian. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And the Bible said, for he that hath the love of the world hath not the love of the Father in him. That's what the book says. And I don't care how much they say they know the Lord. They may know the God of this world who is imitating the Lord, but God said they don't know him. And they say, we've done many wonderful works in thy name. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. God have mercy. We don't know that many Christians. Listen, verse 4 of Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear, also appear with him in glory. And it's not talking about in a place, but it's talking about in a state of glorification. And you can't ever go back. You will never need to be regenerated again. You will never have progressive sanctification be an issue in your life. Now you have attained that which cannot ever be taken away, cannot change. Dear soul, you are then sealed into being like him, for we shall see him as he is. Read John chapter 17. Our time is gone. John chapter 17. What did the Trinity understand as Jesus, the eternal Son of God, in whom is the fullness of the Godhead bodily? What did they think? How did they see the cross of Christ? Glorify me that I might glorify thee. Jesus said it was a matter of glory. And then he says in John 17, 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Wow. Seeing the glory started you out on this journey, brought you on to God, and that's going to bring God on to you. And you will be one with God, just like Jesus is one with God. Read your Bible. That's all I've tried to bring you, is that which was burning in my heart and yearning for you, that you might come on to know the Lord and not finally fall away. That he might, in Jude verses 24 and 25, I thought you said you was through. You closed your Bible. Yeah, I thought I was. Jude 24 and 25. Listen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. And the Bible says, and I say, amen. God bless you.